This week we are looking at the subject of creation, Genesis chapter 1. We have part 3 today. Have you ever thought of heaven, how the word is used in different ways? There is the first heaven where the birds fly. There is the second heaven, which we think is where NASA goes. And then we see the third heaven, where we think of the abode of God, where Scripture tells us, for us believers, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We think of the third heaven. So when he created here, my understanding would be that he created the heaven and the earth. We think of the earth and we think of all the, what we call outer space, his creation. And it goes on then to speak of what God did on that first day. Well, again, these are literal days. Note, as we move down to verse 3, and just a few interesting points maybe we could point out. Verse 3, it speaks of the light that was created. You know, creation is so wonderful in how that it brings up little points of trivial questions that you can ask and challenge people with and say, well, have you ever thought of this? Sometimes with young people, it gets their attention. Have you ever noticed that light was made on the first day, but the sun had not been created till day number 4? Simply amazing. But if you'll recall, and I'll just remind you at the end of the Word of God, that in the future we see a similar thought when we see the new heavens and the new earth, and it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and how in that place of eternity, it says, and the city had no need of the sun, S-U-N, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. We see the Lord Jesus Christ, the S-O-N, the Son of God in his glory, far greater than the S-U-N. So it's simply amazing that God created the light and allowed light and darkness to be divided before the sun, S-U-N, was ever even created. That speaks of the power of God. That speaks of the all-knowing, all-powerful, the all-presence of God, his primary attribute, his sovereignty. This is what God chose to do. But you know, it's also a wonderful picture of what God has done to lost men and women when he speaks of light. Over in the Gospel of John, I'll remind you there that I'll just quickly read to you some verses in the beginning of the Gospel of John. And later in the middle of the Gospel of John, he says one of the great I Ams that ties him in with the Jehovah that Moses saw in Exodus 3 when he said, I am. That's who's sending you, Moses. The I Am sent you. Talk to your people. They will be delivered from Egypt. Well, Christ makes his connection with that one called Jehovah. 7 times he said, I am. And he tied it in with different things, such as in the middle of John, he says, I am the light of the world. It was a title. I am the bread of life. And you can go on and search out all 7 of those. But in John 1, speaking of him being the light, after it speaks of him, the Lord Jesus Christ as the creator, in John 1 and 4 it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then it goes on to speak of this one John the Baptist, not the writer of John, but John the Baptist. And it speaks about how he was a light with a little L. He came to be a lamp to the one that would be coming after him, Jesus Christ. He was the forerunner. That's what John the Baptist was. He was the little L light. And it says in that passage, he was not that light, capital L. He was not the light of the world that would follow. But it goes on to say that Jesus Christ is the true light, which lighteth every man, verse 9, and cometh into the world, that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. But here is what we see the light does to lost men and women. But as many as received him, to them gave he the authority, or power to become the sons or children of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The light shineth in the hearts of the darkened hearts of lost men and women, and it's those that are born of God that have received him, He's given them the power to become the children of God. And it comes through that light shining in the hearts of darkened, sinful hearts of lost men and women. One more point on this light that we see spiritually applied to the idea of Him bringing light into the world. 2 Corinthians 4 tells us this when he's speaking of that one Satan and how he would deceive those that were unbelievers. He says in that passage, if you want to write it down, 2 Corinthians 4 and 3, that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the little g, the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Note here, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, Satan does not want that light of every man that comes into the world, to shine in their heart and expose their dark, sinful heart. You cannot be saved until you acknowledge before God that you are lost. I'm getting off creation, but, you know, the Lord has impressed me recently about the need for clear testimonies when we speak of ones. And the scripture, I believe, bears out that we should use discernment with that. You know, does someone know the clarity of the gospel? Not that they say, well, I've gone to church so-called all these years. Yes, I've heard of the things of God. But Satan doesn't worry about those things. He doesn't want the light of the glorious gospel. The fact that you know you're a sinner and that you have acknowledged before God, yes, I'm a sinner and Christ died on the cross for me. That's a clear testimony. Not just answering yes and no to some questions someone gives you, but you can say yourself, I'm a sinner. Christ died for me. So we see that Satan does not want that glorious light to enter into the heart of men and women. But if you're with me in 2 Corinthians, verse 6 says this. Note here, it ties it in with creation. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. True light that lighteth every man comes through Jesus Christ. That's the spiritual light that we need. So when we go back to Genesis 1, and we're only going to get through day 1 today, but we see here that God brought light out of darkness. So when we think of John 1 again, you know, isn't that something that it says that in him was life and he was the light of the world? It speaks of how the darkness could not comprehend the light. I like the illustration of taking a box and you see that if you have a box or a room that's totally shut out from light, and yet then if you pierce just the tiniest of holes in that box or in this wall of the room behind us, you just pierce the tiniest of holes in that totally secluded room, total darkness, that darkness will not be able to hold down that light. It will pierce through a little ray of light. The darkness could not hold down the light. So when we see that God brought forth light out of darkness, simply amazing. And when we think of the lost condition of men and women, that we need Christ as our Lord and Savior, it's that light of Christ that must penetrate our darkened hearts. And we're not talking about that organ, the size of the fist. The heart is your inner man, who you are. Do you, as a person, acknowledge that you're lost, acknowledge that you're a sinner, acknowledge that you need that light to be shown in the face of Jesus Christ in your heart. He died on the cross for your sin, the only remedy and payment for our sin. So as we've been looking this morning at this, I told Jennifer a while ago, she said, well, you're making me nervous. I said, I've got enough here for 3 messages. I said, it took me 2 messages last week at Goldsboro, and I was just thrilled. I was kind of nervous about it a little bit because I had never done a back-to-back series on creation, and I was really exercised about it. And as soon as we got up from the Lord's Supper, a brother came up to me and handed me this brochure and said, brother, you ever heard of ICR, Creation Research? I said, praise the Lord, brother. We're going to talk about that this morning. As soon as that happened, another sister, remember when elderly sister, when old Benny Harrell was down in Goldsboro as a little boy, she used to babysit him, I think. She come up to me and said, here's a tract. here's a, it's a track on this atheist that professed Christ before he died. I said, praise God, we're going to talk about that. So I felt really enthused about the message last week, and it just kind of carried over my thoughts for this morning. And if the Lord wills, I would like to look at each of these days in some time in the future. So let's just look to the Lord in prayer and thank the Lord for what he has done through his creation, and most of all through his Son and our salvation. Our Father, again, we come into your presence. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you that by faith we believe that the worlds were framed by thy spoken word. We thank you, Father, most of all, that this very one, your beloved Son, is also the light that shines in the hearts of lost men and women. We thank you, Father, for the word of God. We pray that our children will be exposed to it clearly and faithfully, and Father, they will grow up and not be tossed about by every wind of doctrine or even by the things of this world. As we realize, thy word tells us that the God of this world would blind the mind of those that do not believe. So, Father, we just ask that you would protect our children, protect ourselves, as we've even grown up in recent generations hearing of these things that compromise the things of God and what you have done. So, Father, we just pray that you would help us to understand, help us to be enlightened upon your word, and help us to speak the truth in love. Help us to stand on the truth and have a gracious way about it when we are confronted by ones that are contrary to you. We pray for the lost people that we know. We think of those going from Bible school. We think of the families we're praying for. We thank you for the reports of a couple of those that we prayed for receiving Christ just recently. We pray for them. Father, again, we just give you the praise and honor and the glory as we look all around us. May we, when we look up in a clear night and look at the amazing stars and the moon, may we just have our minds exercised to praise you. Father, we thank you for all that we know and have in the Lord Jesus Christ and the privilege together in that name, the name that's sufficient to preach in and to pray in, the name that's sufficient to be saved in, and the name that's sufficient together unto. We just thank you for it. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being with us. If you have any questions or concerns, please call us at 824-5525 or write us at P.O. Box 689 in Ramsor, zip code 27316. That is P.O. Box 689. All requests for tapes are free. We'd be thrilled to hear from you on the phone if you have any questions or concerns. Join us next time at 1 o'clock for the Two Roads and Two Destiny Radio Ministries.